100 years ago, the first commercial recording of jazz was released. The single was called Tiger Rag. That track was recorded in 1917 by the original Dixieland Jazz Band, J-A-S-S, a group of white entertainers from New Orleans. Today, Tiger Rag ranks among the most recorded compositions in the American Songbook. Jazz Recordings, J-A-Z-Z, reflected the black roots of what Wynton Marsalis would eventually call America's classical music. Joan Schaefer is host of WNYC's Soundcheck and New Sounds, and he caught up with New Orleans-born trumpeter Christian Scott Atunde Adjua to learn that this first white record has influenced or bothered generations of jazz musicians, including himself, and he wanted to tell that story in words and music.
There really is that one landmark moment 100 years ago when one single came out and was met with kind of mixed reviews, let's say, by the American public. But it was a start, and it was from New Orleans, as you might expect, and a band called the Original Dixieland Jazz Band.
Jazz.
Jazz. J-A-S-S.
And what did jazz mean?
Well, see, nobody really knows where the word jazz came from anyway. And it seems like there were these two spellings, the two S's or the two Z's. However, one of the people marking the centennial of the first recording of jazz is the trumpeter Christian Scott, who records under the name Christian Scott Atunde Adjua. And he is from New Orleans, and I asked him what he thought about this Original Dixieland Jazz Band.
Like when I was a little boy, if you said jazz in front of my grandmother, my great-grandmother, you could get a bloody mouth. Like they'd view this was a very pejorative term. Jazz music was seen as J-A-S-S or jackass music.
You know, this was really music that had come from a community that was not considered to be part of the high art of the burgeoning American culture. And again, to go back to the trumpeter Christian Scott, that's part of the reason why there was such a mixed reaction to this record.
The older musicians, they had negative feelings about this original recording because apparently it was really satire, right? It was something that was supposedly made as a joke.
So within this community of players of popular music, there's racial tension, and the commercial recording reflects that.
It seems to. It's almost as if this is a way of saying, hey, America, look what the black musicians are doing down in New Orleans. So if you listen again to that Tiger Rag, you know, the little whee, whee, it's almost got a kind of Spike Jones connotation to it. You know, it almost sounds like a musical joke.
And certainly none of the reverential qualities that, say, a Wynton Marsalis would deliver in talking about Dixieland, particularly the New Orleans music that he comes from because he's a New Orlean.
And you know, none of the incredible emotive soloing that you would get just a few years later from people like Louis Armstrong. Now, the interesting thing about the Original Dixieland Jazz Band from New Orleans is how quickly they cottoned on to the idea that there might be something here that was not a joke. So they moved to New York, they changed the spelling of the name to J-A-Z-Z, and went on to become one of the hottest bands here in New York in the early 1920s. And, you know, the French were listening, the Europeans as a whole were really interested in this new form of music coming from the United States. And in fact, the thing that sort of got me looking at this whole centenary was an exhibition here in New York at the Cooper Hewitt Museum called The Jazz Age, which really looks at how jazz sort of sparked a whole explosion of different forms of culture here in the United States. And their curator, Sarah Coffin, basically puts that down to the European response to these early records.
Particularly as the French, they were so enthusiastic about it that this led to Americans who thought that everything French was chic, appreciating something in their own culture that they hadn't thought to look at the time.
Did World War I mix the pot, as it were, culturally?
That's actually a really good question because James Reese Europe, who was the first kind of ambassador of jazz, he was really responsible for bringing the sounds of jazz, live jazz, to Europe and really creating this audience for this new form of music. And of course, he got his introduction to those people through the First World War. So once the war ends, James Reese Europe is bringing his band back to Europe, where he has found something in the atmosphere that suggests to him that he might have a receptive audience. And boy, does that prove to be the case.
So what is this an occasion for Christian Scott, or as he records under Tunde Ajua, to do?
Well, he is marking the centenary of the first recordings of jazz, despite the mixed feelings, by releasing a trilogy of records, one of which, Ruler Rebel, is already out. And each album gets a little bit further into the kind of identity politics of being black in America. So, for example, the final record, which will be issued later this year, is called The Emancipation Procrastination, the idea that a process that was begun over 150 years ago is still just that, a process, and one that is unfolding perhaps too slowly.
Well, here's a cut from that series called The Reckoning.
And you're listening to that song by Christian Scott. You can hear the influence of modern electronica, the brand of Atlanta-style hip-hop known as trap music. I mean, the same thing, that DNA is definitely woven into the fabric of what he does.
This thing happens every, 30 to 40 years, you get a new birth of some kind. But I think there's something in the water. I think there's something definitely happening again right now, even though we're at this landmark of 100 years. I don't necessarily know that the new sound is going to come specifically out of jazz, but we like to think that we'll have a part of it.
John Schaefer, host of WNYC's Soundcheck and New Sounds. As always, thank you so much.
Thank you.